Hey, it's September 12th. On this episode of Inobo Radio, I want to look at leadership and storytelling and how important it is to your leadership practice.
Welcome to Inobo Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
So I was going back through some notes. I finally took the time to get some Kindle notes off my Kindle and upload them into Evernote, which is a tool I use to keep track of things. And so I was looking over some books that I had read years ago and some highlights that I made in my Kindle, and came across a book I really liked a few years ago called Lead with a Story, A Guide to Crafting Business Narratives That Captivate, Convince, and Inspire. And it's a really good book. Didn't take me long to read, but it had some very compelling things in it. And so I want to talk to you about why narrative in leadership is so important. And the author lists 10 compelling reasons why storytelling is so effective in leadership and so effective in communicating the vision. Because what we have seen over the last few years is it's a transition that organizations are making to use storytelling for leadership. And it's important to note that, you know, before writing, storytelling was important, and it was important because what you told people could not be reread. It could not, you can pass it along. It had to be remembered. What you wanted done had to be remembered by the audience, and so you had to tell it in a captivating way, in a way that would communicate and communicate in such a way that people would remember it. I was a pastor for a while, and one of the ways that the Old Testament was passed down was not so much by the writing. A lot of people, and it was written down, but it was passed down orally. So people would tell the stories over and over and over and over. And those stories got ingrained in your system and got ingrained in your heart and in your life. And you lived out of the stories that had been told to you. And so it's important to look at stories from a leadership standpoint. And so the author of this book, hold on, I'm just trying to go back and find his name. Paul Scott, I believe, is his name. Paul Smith, sorry about that. Gives 10 reasons why storytelling is so effective as a leadership tool. And these are worth noting and worth remembering. The first one is storytelling is simple. Anybody can tell a story. You don't need a degree in English. You don't need an MBA. You need to know what's going on. And you need to be able to tell the story of your organization. Tell the past, tell the present, and tell the future. And if you can tell the story, then you can communicate and you can lead. And it's simple. You can even make up a story. You can take a story that you've read or you've heard and adapt it and modify it. Storytelling is simple, and it's also timeless. Sometimes you might have to update the metaphors. You might have to update. My wife is about 9 years younger than I, and she jokes around that I tell when I start talking about Johnny Carson on on late night talk show, on the Tonight Show. She gets on to me asking who remembers Johnny Carson anymore. And I get that. So sometimes you have to update the story a little bit, but generally a story is timeless. The meaning is multi-generational and can be carried from hundreds of years ago into today. Stories are also demographic proof. Everybody likes to listen to a good story. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what race you are, if you're a man or a woman. Everybody likes a good story, and everybody can be captivated by a story. We have a three-year-old we adopted back in November, and we end up watching a lot of Paw Patrol and Peppa Pig and things like that, or he ends up watching it. I say we, he, but then it turns into me because I get captivated by the story myself, and my wife gives me grief. Gives me a good laugh when I get engaged, more engaged in the story than my son does, because his attention span is so short sometimes. But I get engaged in the story, and I'm 48 years old, so I get engaged just like you do. So it's demographic proof. Everybody loves a good story, and they're contagious. A good story will spread. They become viral. You tell a good story and you end up telling other people because it's a good story. And the story is told over and over, and it gets distributed naturally. It gets distributed organically. And the lessons and the ideas that come from that story become ingrained in the lives of other people. So they're contagious. They're viral. It's like a good viral YouTube video. Stories are also easy to remember. Psychologist Jerome Bruner said that facts are 20 times more likely to be remembered if they're part of a story. It's because they have context. It's because they are placed in a place in meaning. They connect to emotion. They connect to sadness or laughter. They connect to something on the heart, tug on the heartstrings. They're connected to emotions. And when emotions, when facts are connected to emotions, they are understood, they are remembered, and they become felt. It's not just an intellectual exercise, but it gets placed in not only your cognitive memory store, but your emotional memory store. And when those two are connected, then they become powerful, and they are easily remembered. So number six, stories inspire. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Wow, you'll never believe that PowerPoint presentation I just saw"? It's rare that anybody would react that way. Man, this PowerPoint was so crazy good. You don't hear that so much. What you do hear is, man, let me tell you about this story I just heard. It impacted me. It changed my life. It made me think differently. So stories inspire. Slides don't, presentations don't, PowerPoints and Keynote doesn't, Prezi doesn't. Those things don't inspire like a good story. Number seven, stories appeal to all types of learners. This one I found really interesting. The author says, in any group, roughly 40% will be predominantly visual learners who will learn best from videos, diagrams, or illustrations. Another 40% will be auditory, learning best through lectures and discussions. The remaining 20% are kinesthetic learners who learn best by doing, experiencing, or feeling. Storytelling has aspects that work for all three types. So how does it work for the visual learner? Well, when you tell a story, you actually help create within the mind's eye images in the brain. Everything that all the sensory aspects that come in, they come in and they interconnect and they form an image in the brain. So when you begin to tell a story, you begin to engage areas in the brain, and images are formed. And so for those learners who function best through diagrams or videos or illustrations, you engage the mind's eye. You create a verbal image, and they begin to get it. They can see what's going on in the field. They can see what's going on down the road. They can see it in their mind's eye. The auditory learners, the 40% of those, through lectures and discussions. So now you're communicating in a way that they are engaged, and that gives you. So you're talking to them. You're telling stories. They're learning through that. They're taking notes on the story. They're taking notes on what you're sharing. And then the 20%, the kinesthetic learners who learn best by doing, experiencing, or feeling. So you're engaging their experiential at the experiential learners, because you're telling a story and you're getting them engaged in the story. A good story will engage people. They will feel what's being discussed. They will experience it, even though it may be only through your words. So from a learning standpoint, stories appeal to everyone. Number 8, the author says, stories fit better where most of the learning happens, in the workplace. According to communication expert Evelyn Clark, up to 70% of the new skills, information, and competence in the workplace is acquired through informal learning. So informal learning is like team meetings or mentoring or just you and your buddy talking, trying to work out an issue. And when you think about the informal communication, when you think about just sitting around the water cooler talking, discussing issues, discussing problems, discussing past work experiences or things like that, what you find is you're telling a lot of stories. I remember this time when I was doing this, and this is how I solved the problem. I remember this time when I did this, and I thought, well, if I go and look at this, stories fit with all that. And so if you want to teach and you want to learn, if you want to teach, you want to help people learn, then you share that through stories. You communicate through stories, and ideally it becomes more informal, which is why the viral nature of stories is so important, because as a C-level executive, you may share that story, and when you turn around and share it informally with other people, it becomes embedded within the organization, because people learn. People get it. Number 9, and I really like this one too. Stories put the leader, the listener, in a mental learning mode. Listeners who are in a critical or evaluative mode are more likely to reject what's being said. So stories disarm. Stories take people away from this critical analytic mode. They put their pens down. They put their pencils down. They open up their posture and they just listen to the story. They're oriented in a different way. It creates a level of curiosity. Have you ever seen the curiosity of a kid? It's crazy. It's crazy how curious they are. What are you eating, Daddy? What are you doing, Daddy? How did you do that, Daddy? Why did you do that, Daddy? They want to know everything, and we actually work it out of them. Don't bother me, son. Don't bother me, daughter. Just because. You ever said that to your kid? But when we're in that childlike state of curiosity, we tend to become more receptive and interested in what's being shared with us. So it puts the listener in a different learning mode, and it opens them up to new ideas. And the last one, and I really like this one too. He says, telling stories shows respect for the audience. Stories get your message across without arrogantly telling listeners what to think or do. Stories take you off the pedestal. It's not you up there telling people what to do. Now, sometimes you need to do that. But you need to do that more than likely. Most of the time you need to do that in a one-on-one or a one-on-two or in a small group setting. When you try to lead from the podium telling everyone what they need to do to hundreds, thousands, it places you in a different light. You become the know-it-all, and it becomes something that is deemed from on high. But stories get your message across without even the appearance of being arrogant or trying to tell people what to do. Author Annette Simmons said that stories give people freedom to come to their own conclusions. People who reject pre-digested conclusions might just agree with you and your interpretations if you get out of their face long enough for them to see what you have seen. And that's what stories do. They help people see what you have seen the way you saw it. And it lets them find their way into your shoes to experience that. And when they do that, then they're not so critical. And they don't look at you as being from on high, arrogant, just telling people what to do. It helps them see why you think things need to be done a certain way. It creates a relationship. And stories need to do that. Stories allow that to happen. And so when you think about your leadership practices and your leadership model, it might be best to take some time and learn to write some stories and learn to tell some stories. And when you do that, your leadership effectiveness will most likely go up. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Innovo Radio. Check out my website, wdavidphillips.com. It's got information about me and some services that I offer and some things that I can do for you, and I'd love to be able to serve you any way I can. Also, it's got links there to my Facebook page, my Twitter account, all those things. You can find an archive of podcast episodes, my blog, some things that I write on, and all that stuff. Thanks again for listening. And I hope you have a great day.
Thanks for listening in today. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.